नमोम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर वासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच for joining today's session. We have been discussing from the fifth chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita along with the commentary of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Sri Sararatha Varshini commentary. So in this fifth chapter, I'll do a quick recap of what we have seen till now. In the third chapter and in the fourth chapter, Krishna spoke about practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga and how this Nishkama Karma Yoga gradually evolves into Jnana. When by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, when the heart becomes purified, naturally one develops Jnana. You know, this is what towards the end of fourth chapter, Krishna glorified that Jnana. नहि ज्ञानेन सदृशं पवित्रमिद विद्यते इह विद्यते तत्स्वयं योग संसिद्धिर् कालेनात्मनि विन्दति. सो लाइक दैट इन सो मेनी वर्सेस ही ग्लोरिफाइड ज्ञान विच इज बॉर्न आउट ऑफ अ प्रैक्टिस ऑफ निष्काम कर्म योग. सो बट एट द सेम टाइम टुवर्ड्स द एंड ऑफ दैट चैप्टर आफ्टर ग्लोरिफाइंग ज्ञान again Krishna asks Arjuna to fight. Chitvainam samshayam yogam atishtottishta bharata, like that he says, you know. So therefore again Arjuna is not very clear, because he thinks that jnana means you know, give up all kinds of karma, give up all kinds of karma. So why did you glorify jnana if you want me to do karma? So again, a very similar question which Arjuna got in the beginning of third chapter, here Arjuna gets here at this chapter. So when he asked this question in the third chapter, that vyamishrenaiva vakyena buddhim mohaya sivame तदेकं वद निश्चित्य एन श्रेयोहम आप्नुयान्. अर्जुन, ओ कृष्ण, इफ यू वांट मी टू, इफ यू हैव ग्लोरिफाइड ज्ञान, देन आई थॉट यू वांट मी टू डू ज्ञान, बट यू आर आस्किंग मी टू डू कर्म. सो योर इंस्ट्रक्शंस आर वेरी इक्विवोकल, इट्स नॉट वेरी क्लियर. सो कैन यू टेल मी वेरी क्लियरली वॉट यू वॉन्ट मी टू डू? दिस इज वॉट अर्जुन आस्क्ड कृष्ण इन द बिगिनिंग ऑफ थर्ड चैप्टर. अर्जुन, कृष्ण सेड, अर्जुन, लोकेस्मिन् द्विविधा निष्ठा पुरा प्रोक्त मयानग ज्ञान योगेन सांख्यानां कर्मयोगेन योगिनां. सो ही सेड, अर्जुन अंडरस्टैंड दैट देर आर टू काइंड्स ऑफ पीपल, पीपल विथ टू डिफरेंट टाइप्स ऑफ क्वालिफिकेशन. सम पीपल आर क्वालिफाइड फॉर कर्म, सम पीपल आर क्वालिफाइड फॉर ज्ञान. सो वन हू इज क्वालिफाइड फॉर कर्म शुड प्रैक्टिस कर्म, one who is qualified for jnana should practice jnana. Because you are qualified for karma, I asked you to practice karma. Okay, because the qualification of jnana is very high. Yastu atmarati reva syad atma truptascha manava atmanyeva hi santushtas tasya karyam na vidyate. So one who is qualified for jnana, that is so pure that he has absolutely no material desires and he is completely satisfied in pursuing self-realization. And only activities of self-realization will give him happiness. Nothing else will give him happiness or satisfaction. So such a person is qualified to practice jnana by giving up karma. तस्माद् असक्तः सततम् कार्यम् कर्म समाचर असक्तो हि आचरण कर्म परम आप्नोति पुरुषः. Therefore Arjuna, because you do not have these qualifications, therefore I ask you to perform. Therefore, I asked you to perform karma. Yes, it is true that I did glorify the path of jnana. I did tell you that jnana is superior to karma. But that does not mean that anyone can practice jnana. It needs a qualification. And that qualification is purification of heart. Okay. So, here Arjuna has a similar question. He says, Sanyasam karmanam krishna punar yogam shamsasi. Yet shreya etayo rekam tanme bruhi sunishchitam. So he says, Sanyasam karmanam krishna punar yogam cha shamsasi. Oh Krishna, you seem to be praising karma sannyas, giving up karma, and at the same time, you seem to be glorifying karma yoga. So you are glorifying both. Tad me bruhi su nischitam yat shreya etayorikam. Please tell me very clearly of the two which is better. Is karma sannyas better or karma yoga better? So karma sannyas means jnana yoga. Sannyas, what we call as sannyas, that is jnana yoga, where one gives up one's practice of varna, varna dharma, you know, kshatriya, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, that those activities are completely given up by that person, right? And so sannyas means karma sannyas. Okay. And yoga means karma yoga, nishkama karma yoga. So which one of the two is better? Arjuna is asking. Okay. So here I think we did discuss that, you know, if you remember, I explained this whole thing. When people have material desires, they practice first sakama karma yoga to fulfill their material desires, and gradually, because they are trying to fulfill their material desires by following the Vedic path, gradually some sort of purification happens in their heart and they come to the stage of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay. So this Nishkama Yoga was described in the third chapter and in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Right. So, so then when the heart becomes, then when one performs Nishkama Karma Yoga, they no longer have material desires. They have desire for liberation. So, with ultimately their desire is liberation, but immediately, in order to pursue liberation, one has to have a purified heart. So, by practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga, by being detached from the material fruits of the Varnashrama activities, they continue practicing these Varnashrama activities, their heart becomes pure. So once the heart becomes pure, then they have three options. Okay. Either they can, so when their heart becomes pure, then they are qualified to pursue jnana. Jnana will naturally manifest within their heart. Tat swayam yoga samsiddhir kalenatmani vindati. As in the fourth chapter towards the end, Krishna talking about jnana, he says, that swayam yoga samsiddhi. This jnana, by the perfection of nishkarma yoga, automatically matures and it forms, it leads to jnana. That swayam yoga samsiddhi. Kalena atmani vindati. It manifests within the heart. Okay. But even after that jnana manifests within the heart, one need not necessarily give up practicing their varna dharma. They can continue practicing the duties of a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. And at the same time, so externally they practice their varnashram duties, but internally they pursue meditation and brahman. Okay. So such people, this is one option. The second option is, they give up their practice of varna dharma and only practice sannyas. So this is jnana yoga. Or they could take up to ashtanga yoga, where they pursue meditation. So ఆల్ త్రీ ఆఫ్ దిస్ విల్ అల్టిమేట్లీ లీడ్ టు లిబరేషన్. లిబరేషన్ హియర్ మీన్స్ సాయుజ్య ముక్తి, ఇంపర్సనల్ లిబరేషన్, రైట్? సో హియర్ నౌ కృష్ణ ఇస్, సో దిస్ క్వశ్చన్ హెస్ బీన్ ఆస్క్డ్ బై అర్జున, కృష్ణ వాట్ ఈస్ బెస్ట్, కర్మ సన్యాస్ ఆర్ కర్మయోగ ఆర్ జ్ఞాన యోగ ఆర్ కర్మయోగ, వాట్ ఈస్ బెటర్, యూ టెల్ మీ. ఓకే, సో హియర్ in the explanation Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, in the fifth chapter the Lord explains that karma as superior to jnana because it strengthens jnana and explains knowledge of paramatma along with qualities such as seeing things with equal vision. Okay, so anyways, we will discuss this a little later. So కృష్ణ ఆన్సర్స్ దిస్ క్వశ్చన్ బై టెలింగ్, సన్యాస కర్మయోగశ్చ నిశ్రేయస కరా ఉభావ్ తయోస్తు కర్మ సన్యాస కర్మయోగో విశిష్యతే. కృష్ణ సిస్ అర్జున, బోత్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ అండ్ జ్ఞానయోగ ఆర్ కర్మయోగ అండ్ కర్మ సన్యాస్, బోత్ ఆర్ బెనిఫిషియల్, బోత్ క్యాన్ ప్రొడ్యూస్ ది హయ్యెస్ట్ బెనిఫిట్. So here highest benefit is actually liberation. Liberation means impersonal liberation, sayujya mukti, because he has not yet in Bhagavad Gita introduced bhakti in a very serious way. So there is only a comparison between karma and jnana. Okay, so he says that sanyasa karma yogascha nishreyasa karavubhav, both renunciation of work and karma yoga produce highest benefit, which is sayujya mukti or liberation. Payostu, but of the two, karma sanyasat karma yogo vishishyate, karma yoga is better than renunciation of karma. Okay, we saw this chart, right? So Krishna is telling this is better than this. తయోస్తు కర్మ సన్యాసాత్ కర్మయోగో విశిష్యతే. సో బెటర్ ప్రాక్టీస్ దిస్ పాత్ బికాస్ యు నెవర్ నో ఇఫ్ యువర్ హార్ట్ ఇస్ ప్యూరిఫైడ్ ఆర్ నాట్, రైట్? సో ఇఫ్ యువర్ హార్ట్ ఇస్ నాట్ ప్యూరిఫైడ్ అండ్ ఇఫ్ యు హవ్ ఆల్రెడీ టేకన్ అప్ టు సన్యాస్, వి సా సన్యాస్ కెనాట్ ప్యూరిఫై ద హార్ట్. Sanyas is to be taken only after the heart becomes purified by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay. But if someone makes an error in judgment and he thinks that, oh yeah, I think my heart is very pure, now I can take up to sanyas. If he takes up to sanyas, which is Jnana, but then eventually realizes after some time that, oh, my heart is not completely pure, then what happens? Because sanyas, the stage of sanyas or the practices of jnana yoga cannot purify the heart. Only the practice of nishkama karma yoga can purify the heart. But he has given it up and taken up to sanyas. Now if he gives up the sanyas and takes up to practice of his varnashrama duties or karma yoga again, he will be criticized by the society. He will be criticized by the society. But if he does not give up his jnana yoga and takes up to karma yoga, his heart will not become purified and he cannot attain liberation. So either he has to stay at the position of sannyas without undergoing any purification, or he has to give up his sannyas and take up to practice of varnashram duty and face the social backlash. So Krishna says, why do all these things? Even if you are sure that your heart is purified, continue externally practicing your varnashrama duties while internally meditating on the Brahman. Okay. So this will also give rise to liberation. You don't have to externally give up your practice of varnashrama duties. This is what Krishna tells here. See, Arjuna, sanyasa karma yogascha, both this and this, nishreyasa karavu, both can lead to liberation. బట్ తయోస్తు బట్ ఆఫ్ ద టూ కర్మ సన్యాసాత్ కర్మయోగో విశిష్యతే బెటర్ దాన్ దిస్ జ్ఞాన యోగ ఆర్ కర్మ సన్యాస్ ఇస్ కర్మయోగ ఆర్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ హియర్ దిస్ ఇస్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ ఆన్ ద ప్లాట్ఫామ్ ఆఫ్ జ్ఞాన సో ద డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ దిస్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ అండ్ దిస్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ ఇస్ దాట్ దిస్ ఇస్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ వన్ దిస్ ఇస్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ టూ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ వన్ ఈస్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ ఆన్ ది ప్లాట్ఫామ్ ఆఫ్ కర్మ వెరస్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ టూ ఈస్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ ఆన్ ది ప్లాట్ఫామ్ ఆఫ్ జ్ఞానం రైట్ సో దీస్ టూ ఆర్ డిఫరెంట్ ఓకే వన్ హూ ఈస్ అట్ ద ప్లాట్ఫామ్ ఆఫ్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ వన్ హీ కెనాట్ మెడిటేట్ ఆన్ బ్రహ్మన్ హీ విల్ నాట్ బి ఏబుల్ టు మెడిటేట్ ఆన్ బ్రహ్మన్ బికాస్ హిస్ హార్ట్ విల్ బి ఫిల్డ్ విత్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ అనర్థాస్ వెరస్ వన్ హూ ఈస్ ఆన్ ద ప్లాట్ఫామ్ ఆఫ్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ టూ బికాస్ హిస్ హార్ట్ ఇస్ ఆల్రెడీ ప్యూరిఫైడ్ ఈవెన్ దో ఎక్స్టర్నలీ హీ మే బి ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ హిస్ వర్ణాశ్రమ డ్యూటీస్ హీ కెన్ స్టిల్ హీ విల్ స్టిల్ బి ఏబుల్ టు మెడిటేట్ ఆన్ ది బ్రహ్మన్ విత్ ఇన్ ఓకే దట్ ఈస్ ద డిఫరెన్స్ సో కృష్ణ సేస్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ టూ ఈస్ బెటర్ దాన్ జ్ఞాన యోగ దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఈస్ టెలింగ్ హియర్ సన్యాస కర్మయోగశ్చ నిశ్రేయసకరా ఉభౌ తయోస్తు కర్మ సన్యాసాత్ కర్మయోగో విశిష్యతే సో హియర్ శ్రీ విష్ణు జగదాకర్ సేస్ కర్మయోగ ఇస్ బెటర్ ఈవన్ ఫర్ ద జ్ఞాని పర్ఫార్మింగ్ యాక్షన్ ఇస్ నాట్ అట్ ఆల్ అ ఫాల్ట్ సో హియర్ యాక్షన్ రిఫర్స్ టు వర్ణాశ్రమ డ్యూటీస్ బికాస్ పర్ఫార్మింగ్ యాక్షన్ ఇస్ నాట్ అ ఫాల్ట్ ఫర్ అ కర్మి టు గివ్ అప్ యాక్షన్ ఇస్ సర్టన్లీ అ ఫాల్ట్ ఫర్ అ జ్ఞాని టు పర్ఫార్మ్ వర్ణాశ్రమ డ్యూటీస్ ఇస్ నాట్ అ ఫాల్ట్ ఓకే బికాస్ దిస్ పర్సన్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో ఎ జ్ఞాని దిస్ పర్సన్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో ఎ జ్ఞాని but even though he is a gyani he can practice varnashrama duties but for someone who is on the platform of nishkama karma yoga one to prematurely give up the duties is definitely a fault right so that's what he says here rather by performance of nishkama karma the heart becomes fixed in purity from that jnana becomes fixed sometimes there may arise disturbance in the heart of a sanyasi so which if he is a premature sanyasi if he is a premature sanyasi whose heart is not yet purified and if he gives up his karma and takes up the sanyas then it will lead to a disturbance in the form of material desires okay in order to alleviate that disturbance is it forbidden to engage in karma No. Disturbance in the heart fully obstructs the practice of jnana. But taking up enjoyment of sense objects rather than performing nishkama karma is a real degradation. So therefore, instead of on the platform of sannyas, what will happen if a person takes up to, premature sannyas? Okay, so what happens to a premature sannyasi? He has material desire. So when he has material desires and when the urge for material desires become very strong, okay, if the sannyasi gives up sannyas and takes up to Varnashrama platform, there will be social backlash. The whole society will criticize him and he will face bahishkar from the society. But what will the sannyasi do if he has material desires? When the urge becomes very strong, he will engage in sense gratification instead of legally engage in activities of varnashram. So this is a big problem for a sannyasi. So because you know, one can always do this mistake of taking up to premature sannyas, therefore Krishna says, look, forget about giving up this varnashram duties, continue externally performing varnashram duties, even if you think internally you have become purified, because anytime your judgment may be wrong. And if you are on the platform of jnana, to continue performing your varnashram duties is not wrong. It will not degrade you. For a jnani, while internally cultivating jnana, but externally performing varnashram duties is not a fault. But for a kani, to prematurely give up his karma is certainly a fault. That is the point that he is making here. Okay. Jayasya nitya sanyasi yonadveshti na kanchati nirdvandvo hi mahabaho sukam vandat pramuchyate. So he says, O Mahabaho, O mighty armed Arjuna, saha, that person who is engaged in Nishkama Karma Yoga with pure heart. So Nishkama Karma Yoga with pure heart is Nishkama Karma Yoga type 2, where he is performing his Varnashram duties, but already he has a pure heart, which this is on the platform of Jnana. He is performing Nishkama Karma Yoga on the platform of Jnana. So Nirdvandvaha, because his heart is purified, there is no duality within his heart, likes and dislikes. Yona dveshti na kankshati, neither hating nor desiring anything. Okay. Nitya sannyasi gyeyaha, such a person is to be known as a constant sannyasi. So even though he may be performing externally nishkama karma yoga, but which means externally he may be a grihastha, but internally he is a sannyasi. Krishna says, Yeyasya nitya sannyasi. Understand, Arjuna, that he is a nitya sannyasi. Sukam bandhat pramuchyate. And such a person, without having to take up external sannyas, he can very easily be freed from the bondage. Okay. So this is glorifying a grihastha who is practicing karma on the platform of jnana. Even though he is qualified for jnana, but externally he is continuing to perform karma. So Krishna is telling, don't worry, such a person is a nitya sannyas. Because sannyas means what? Karma phala tyaga, that is sannyas. So real sannyas means one who gives up attachment to the fruits of one's action. That is real sannyas. You don't have to really give up the activities of your karma. That is what Krishna is telling here. Right? So gyeyasya nitya sannyasi yonadveshti na kankshati nirdvandvo hi mahabaho sukam bandhat pramuchyate. So Srila Vishnu Jagadakur mentioned, it should not be said that taking sannyas or taking premature sannyas, that is renouncing all duties or karma, gives liberation, and not taking sannyas does not give liberation. So one should not say that, he did not take up sannyas, so he cannot get liberation. Or he has taken up sannyas, so definitely he will get liberation. So liberation is not dependent on external sannyas. Liberation is dependent on internal sannyas. Okay. Internal sannyas means karma phala tyaga. Okay. So, a person who does not take sannyas, who is a grihastha, who is addressed in this verse as a nitya sannyasi, he has a pure heart for cultivation of jnana. So, he may externally practice varnashram duties, but internally he cultivates jnana. Definitely he achieves liberation. The pure-hearted person engaged in action should be known as the constant sannyasi, nitya sannyasi. He is a true warrior who conquers the city of liberation. O mighty armed Arjuna, Mahabaho. Sankhya yogau pritak balaha pravadanti na panditaha. Ekam api astita samyak ubayor vindate palam. ఓన్లీ ది ఇగ్నోరెంట్ పీపుల్ బాలాహ ప్రవదంతి దే స్పీక్ సాంఖ్య యోగ పృథక్. సో ఓన్లీ ఇగ్నోరెంట్ పీపుల్ టాక్ అబౌట్ టాక్ దట్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ టైప్ టూ ఈస్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ జ్ఞాన యోగ. ఓకే, డెఫినెట్లీ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ టైప్ వన్ ఈస్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ జ్ఞాన యోగ ఇన్ ద సెన్స్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ద ప్రిలిమినరీ స్టేజ్ ఆఫ్ జ్ఞాన యోగ. బట్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ టైప్ టూ అండ్ జ్ఞాన యోగ ఆర్ బోత్ ద సేమ్ ఇన్ ద సెన్స్ బోత్ విల్ గివ్ ది సేమ్ గోల్ విచ్ ఇస్ లిబరేషన్. ఓకే, దర్ ఇస్ నో డిఫరెన్స్, దర్ ఇస్ నో డిఫరెన్స్. వన్ మే ఎక్స్టర్నలీ బి ప్రాక్టీసింగ్ వర్ణాశ్రమ డ్యూటీస్ అస్ ఎ గృహస్థ వైల్ ఇంటర్నలీ కల్టివేటింగ్ జ్ఞాన. వై హ్యావ్ గివన్ అప్ ద గృహస్థ ఆశ్రమ్ అండ్ టేకన్ అప్ టు సన్యాస్ అండ్ ఇంటర్నలీ కల్టివేటింగ్ జ్ఞాన. ఇఫ్ బోత్ ఆర్ క్వాలిఫైడ్ ఫర్ జ్ఞాన, బోత్ దీస్ యాక్టివిటీస్ విల్ గివ్ అప్ విల్ లీడ్ టు లిబరేషన్. రైట్, లైక్ దట్. సో బాలాహ, ఓన్లీ ది ఇగ్నోరెంట్ పర్సన్ స్పీక్స్ ఆఫ్ జ్ఞాన అండ్ కర్మయోగ ఇస్ డిఫరెంట్, నా పండితాహ, నాట్ ద వైస్ పర్సన్. ఏకమపి ఆస్తిత సమ్యగ్ ఉభయోర్ విందతే ఫలం. పర్ఫార్మింగ్ ఈవెన్ వన్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ యాక్టివిటీస్ కంప్లీట్లీ వన్ అటైన్స్ ద రిజల్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ బోత్. ద రిజల్ట్ ఆఫ్ బోత్ ఇస్ లిబరేషన్. రైట్, సో దెన్ హీ సేస్ యత్ సాంఖ్యై ప్రాప్యతే స్థానం తద్యోగైరపి గమ్యతే ఏకం సాంఖ్యం చ యోగం చ యః పశ్యతి స పశ్యతి. హీ ఇస్ రిపీటింగ్ ద సేమ్ టైప్ సేమ్ థింగ్. హీ సేస్ యత్ సాంఖ్యై ప్రాప్యతే స్థానం దట్ విచ్ గోల్ విచ్ క్యాన్ బి హియర్ సాంఖ్య రిఫర్స్ టు జ్ఞాన యోగ ఆర్ సన్యాస్, ఎక్స్టర్నల్ సన్యాస్. ఓకే, యత్ సాంఖ్యై ప్రాప్యతే స్థానం దట్ గోల్ విచ్ ఇస్ అచీవ్డ్ బై ది పాత్ ఆఫ్ జ్ఞాన తద్ యోగైరపి గమ్యతే దట్ యు కెన్ అచీవ్ బై కర్మయోగ ఆల్సో. హియర్ కర్మయోగ ఇస్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ టైప్ టూ. టైప్ టూ మీన్స్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ ఆన్ ద ప్లాట్ఫామ్ ఆఫ్ జ్ఞానం. ఓకే, సో యత్ సాంఖ్యై ప్రాప్యతే స్థానం తద్ యోగైరపి గమ్యతే ఏకం సాంఖ్యం చ యోగం చ యః పశ్యతి స పశ్యతి. He who sees Jnana and Karma Yoga as one, he is the one who is actually seeing. Ekam Sankhyam cha Yogam cha yap pashyati sa pashyati. He who sees Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga as one, in the sense that their goal is one, he is really seeing. Okay. So, then in the next verse he says, సన్యాసస్తు మహాబాహో దుఃఖమాప్తుం అయోగత యోగయుక్తో మునిర్బ్రహ్మ నచిరేణాది గచ్చతి. సో హి సేస్ సన్యాసస్తు దుఃఖమాప్తుం అయోగత. సో హి సేస్ ఇఫ్ వన్ జస్ట్ గివ్ మీ అ సెకండ్. సో హి సేస్ సన్యాసస్తు మహాబాహో దుఃఖమాప్తుం అయోగత. సో విచ్ మీన్స్ ఇఫ్ వితౌట్ పర్ఫార్మింగ్ నిష్కామ కర్మయోగ one will not get purity of heart, and without purity of heart if one takes up to sannyas or jnana yoga, then it will lead to only pain. Okay, so it will not lead to any goal. So that's what he says, sannyasastu dukkhamaptum ayogatah. So without practicing nishkama karma yoga and without purifying the heart, if one prematurely takes up to sannyas, it will lead to pain only, it will lead to difficulty. But yoga yukto munihi. So munihi means one who is on the platform of jnana. And yoga yukta means one who is simultaneously engaged in nishkama karma yoga too. But this yoga yukto munihi, brahma, liberation, na chirena, very quickly, adigacchati, he attains. Therefore, Krishna says, O Arjuna, even if you think your heart is very pure, still I would say don't give up your varnashram duties. Because there is nothing wrong if you continue to perform your varnashram duties. So, sannyasastu mahabhago dukkam aptum ayogatah yoga yukto munirbrana chirena adhigacchati. So, sannyas gives suffering for the jnani who cannot fix complete purity in his heart, which is a premature jnana. But karma yoga, however, gives pleasure. Okay. How? Because of not performing karma yoga, which can pacify the disturbance of the heart, the sannyas may give rise to suffering if it is accepted without proper qualification. Thus, it is said by the writers of the Vartika. Okay. He says, pramadino bahischittaha pishunaha kalahotsukaha sannyasino pi drishyantaiva sandushitashrayaha. One sees sannyasis who are absorbed in sense gratification with evil minds, fond of arguing, who are contaminated shelters of spiritual life. You know, this is called talking about the premature sannyasis. Right? And again, the personified Vedas say, yadinna samudharanti yatayo hridi kama jata. Member renounced order who failed to uproot the last traces of material desires in their heart, they remain impure. Why they remain impure? Because the means of purification is their varana dharma, and they have given up that varana dharma without full purification. Like that. So, this is where we ended our discussion, where Krishna speaks about the importance of continuing to perform one's varnashrama duties even after reaching the stage of jnana, because it is safe and easy. So this is where we ended our discussion 2 weeks back. It has been a long time. That's why I took some time to recap what we have been discussing. Before we start the next section, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions based on what we have discussed, you can please go ahead. Anything anyone to share as well? Yes, Ramacharya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So, does Niskam Karma Yogi also perform Jnana Yoga? Like you mentioned Niskam Karma Yoga 1 and Niskam Karma Yoga 2. Mm-hmm. One was Niskam Karma Yogi engaged in Karma Yoga. And then also Jnana Yoga. So do they also do Jnana Yoga too?
Yeah, Nishkama Karma Yoga 1 cannot form Jnana Yoga, cannot meditate on Brahman because his heart is still impure. But the Nishkama Karma Yogi 2 is his heart pure. Therefore, he can internally meditate on Brahman. So he can. So meditation, the internal meditation on Brahman is actually activity of Jnana Yoga only.
So Prabhu, hearing some of the past classes, sounds like it's mostly purification that decides, or the level of desired purification decides what type of yoga one can engage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. True.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else anyone would like to share as add before we move forward? Yes, Vahini Mukherjee.
Hare Krishna. Yes, hi, yes. So I have two questions. So first one is there's this. I had visited Uttarkashi, and I saw in Tapovan that there are some women sannyasi. Mm-hmm. So, what is the take, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's take on that? And if, sannyas is allowed for women, and, if you can elaborate on that. And second, if I can ask later or.
Yeah, first we'll take this. Can women take up sannyas? It's a matter of research. In general, no. But But definitely, there may be some exceptional cases. So for this, one has to completely understand the Dharma Shastras. You will never see our acharyas elaborating too much on this, because ultimately there will be much lot of elaboration on the path of bhakti, because sannyas is not a part of bhakti, you know. So the whole thing about nishkama karma yoga or sannyas and all these things, they come in the path of gradual elevation. So they are not on the they do not come in on the path of bhakti. So therefore you will not see such elaborations too much. Maybe there might be some places they might have spoken about it, but there will not be much this elaboration in their commentary. There will be more elaboration on bhakti. So yeah, I don't know. I am not an expert in Dharma Shastras, which describe, you know, dharma, you know, what is the general rule and what is the rationale behind it, and what are the exceptions, and under what circumstances, woman can take sannyas. Are there any exceptions for that? Bhakti Shastras will never talk about it. Only Dharma Shastras will talk about it. So, because I am not an expert in Dharma Shastras, neither am I expert in Bhakti Shastra also. But so I cannot exactly comment on that. And as far as you are asking, what is Srila Vishnu Thakur's take on this? Till now, whatever I have read from Srila Vishnu Thakur's books, either his commentaries to Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, or his other books like Madhuri Kadambini and other such things, I have not read him commenting on this. So I don't know for sure.
Right. The second question was more related to, you know, the sannyasis falling down. Mm-hmm. So like even in ISKCON, like we can only see what we see in ISKCON right now. Like, you know, the sannyas concept we are seeing mostly in ISKCON. So mm-hmm. And there we see, you know, sannyasis falling down. And they are on the path of bhakti. So, I don't know how to take that. And but it is definitely, it's bad for the society, basically. I mean, for the name of the society. And there are so many people who get affected by it. You know, it's just not one time thing that, okay, if we see from that angle that, okay, he was... you know, he's a bhakta, so maybe it's not a fall down. Maybe it's just a small, like whatever, you know, we can forgive him, but the implications that
society implications
creates to the society is like, it's vast, you know, people get affected by it. So even, I can say about myself, like my own parents, you know, they'll start questioning that, what path are you taking, you know? So I'm just asking that, like, how to take it and how to take it in the right sense so that it doesn't affect our bhakti, and, how to understand it in the right way, because it sometimes creates a lot of confusions.
Okay. This is a very valid question. Actually, for this, we have to understand, the first principle that we hear when we take up to bhakti, or one of the first principles is naham vipro nachanarapati napi vaishyo na shudro naham varni nachagrahapati na vanasto yatirva kintu prodyan nikila paramananda purna amritabde gopi bartur padakamalayor dasadasanudas. So our identification ultimately on sannyas is a material identification only. Okay. I'm not directly answering your question, but I'm going to come there. I'm just laying a platform for that. So, therefore, traditionally, in the traditional Vedic society, sannyas is given only to that person who, by perfectly practicing his nishkama karma yoga, has purified his heart, and when the heart becomes purified completely, then he takes up to sannyas. Okay, so this is the traditional Vedic society. But in our case, we are not following the gradual path of varnashrama. We have directly taken up to the path of bhakti. So in bhakti, especially in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, it was only Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who introduced sannyas mostly as a preaching strategy. That's all. So sannyas was only a preaching strategy. He did not give sannyas only to those disciples who showed exceptional purity of heart. First thing, they were only practitioners of bhakti. They were not practitioners of varnashrama. Okay, so they were not engaged in that, in those strict rituals of varna dharma. So therefore, their purification of heart was dependent on bhakti. So therefore, they were given sannyas not based on purification, but mostly he gave sannyas from the perspective of preaching for that purpose. So first thing is, we have to understand, even Srila Prabhupada continued the same way. It's not that he had a strong evaluation process as to evaluate who was actually very purified, you know. So the sannyas was given based on how much people were inspired and enthusiastic for preaching. So that was the consideration based on which Srila Prabhupada also gave sannyas. So there is no precedence in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. In one sense, you can say Swarup Damodar Goswami and others, but they all took sannyas from the Mayavadi line only, even including Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in our own line, actually, there was no, that the whole concept of Vaishnava sannyas was introduced by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur purely for the purpose of preaching. Okay. So these discussions about sannyasi and this is quite different from the sannyas that we are talking about within ISKCON, because ideally, if you are following the traditional Vedic path, as a brahmachari, very rarely, we all know none of us are purified, So when people who show exceptional purity of heart, okay, so they directly take up to sannyas from being brahmacharis. Otherwise, the only way is accept the grihastha ashram, perform your varna dharma, purify your heart, and only then you can take up to vanaprastha and sannyas. That is the only way, right? But that kind of sannyas, the kind of sannyas that is given in our society is significantly different. It is mainly for the purpose of preaching, right? So, therefore, if someone falls down, so falls down means what? We have to understand. Falling down means what? If someone succumbs to material sense gratification, right? So, in one sense, the whole concept of sannyas itself was not given completely based on purification. So, is it impossible for such a person to come to sense gratification? No, it is definitely possible, right? So I'm not trivializing. I'm not telling that, everyone can fall down, but I'm just giving a perspective actually. So when right now in today's day and age in ISKCON, slowly these, the standards are getting more and more stricter. But even then, you know, there is no a kind of very strict benchmark in terms of purity for someone to actually take up to the position of sannyas. You know, a very generic principles are there, but there is no very strict benchmark as such. So having said that, it is always possible. Okay. And on top of that, so what level of anartha nivritti is needed, right? So if complete anartha nivritti is needed, then one can take up to sannyas only at the stage of bhava and prema. But at the stage of bhava and prema, no one would want to take up the sannyas because they would become completely controlled by love for Krishna. So therefore, we have to understand that can a sannyasi of ISKCON succumb to sense gratification? I would say one should not be very surprised. It is possible because the principles, in one sense, the whole concept of sannyas in our sampradaya was introduced mostly as a preaching ploy. But having said that, real fall down means if someone completely gives up the practice of devotional service, that is definitely a fall down. Okay. So this, whatever I have spoken till now, is how do we see fall down or so-called fall down, right? But having said that, you know, the societal repercussions are definitely there, right? So the society will certainly, in the general society, people will definitely, you know, the sannyas is given, is put on a very high pedestal. So definitely the societal repercussions will be very strong. So one has to be cool about it. That is why if you see in our sannyas ministry, nowadays, the rules are very, very strict, and the sannyasis are monitored very, very strictly, or the sannyas candidates are monitored very, very strictly, and to get sannyas is not very easy in today's day and age, actually. So within ISKCON, so standards are definitely improving, you know, mostly to curb the societal repercussions that may come when someone is not able to maintain those standards. I don't know if I addressed your questions, but if not, you can please let me know.
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, majorly. Thank you so much. Yeah, that was helpful.
Anything else anyone would like to share as before we move forward?
Purushottam Prasad.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandatna. Prabhuji, so Krishna is saying both are good, but it's Jnana Yoga as well as Karma Yoga. Perform either one will lead to ultimately the same result, isn't it?
Correct.
So it doesn't matter whether you are following Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga. Even if you are Jnana Yoga, you should be capable of surpassing duality, isn't it?
Yeah, but I clarified. Karma Yoga means Karma Yoga on the platform of Jnana, not Karma Yoga on the platform of Karma.
Got it.
Clear. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. Prabhu, also the question raised just before. So Krishna also clarifying in ninth chapter saying that even for circumstances, a devotee may fall down, but still he has to be considered as sadhu.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Thank you. He is considered as a sadhu on the principle of his surrender to Krishna. And why he is considered as a sadhu? Because Krishna takes the responsibility of purifying and reinstating him back on the right platform.
Yeah.
So on that principle, we accept him as a sadhu.
That facility is not available for a Karma Yogi or Jnana Yogi or Ashtanga Yogi, whereas for a Bhakti Yogi, it is available, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah. Thank you. Clear.
Right. Anything else? Okay, let's continue then. Okay, so then Krishna in this next section is going to speak about the performance of Kama Karma Yoga. Not exact. Let's see. Okay, what he says. योगयुक्तो विशुद्धात्मा विजितात्मा जितेन्द्रियः सर्वभूतात्म भूतात्मा कुर्वन् अपि न लिप्यते. सो ही सेज योगयुक्तः, वन एंगेज्ड इन कर्मयोगा, कर्मयोगा ऑफ कोर्स द फर्स्ट निष्काम कर्मयोगा, विशुद्धात्मा हैविंग कंट्रोल्ड हिज इंटेलिजेंस. सो हियर आत्मा रेफर्स टू इंटेलिजेंस. विजितात्मा having controlled his mind. Here atma refers to mind. So first atma is intelligence, okay, and the second atma is mind, okay. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma and then jitendriyah. So Jitendriya means one who has controlled his senses. So his senses are controlled, his mind is controlled, his intelligence is controlled. So which means he is Nishkama Karma Yogi of type 2. So Yoga Yukto. So Yoga Yukto means he is engaged in Nishkama Karma Yoga type 2. But he is Vishuddhatma. His intelligence is controlled. Vijitatma, his mind is controlled. Jitendriya, his senses are controlled. Okay. Kurvanapi, even though he may be engaged in his varna dharma, his activities, na lipyate, he is not contaminated. So Arjuna, even if you think your senses are controlled, your mind is controlled, your intelligence is controlled, and your heart is completely purified. So if you are thinking, still why should I engage in my varnashrama duty and contaminate myself, don't worry. If your mind, intelligence and senses are all controlled, kurvan api na lipyate, even though you may be engaged in your varnashram duties, you will not be contaminated. Okay. And sarva bhuta atma bhuta atma, and such a person is the object of love of all the living entities. Okay. So all the living entities will naturally love that person, because wherever there is detachment and non-selfishness, naturally people get attracted to such a person. Okay. So when there is attachment, there is selfishness. Wherever there is detachment, there is selflessness. And selflessness is very active. So even though such a person may be externally engaged in activities of varnashrama, because he is showing internal detachment, all the living entities become very much attracted to such a person. So therefore, don't, Arjuna, if you are a Vishuddhatma, Vijitatma and Jitendriya, by being engaged in yoga, by being engaged in karma yoga, na lipyate, you will not be bound or you will not be contaminated by action. And because of your internal detachment, all the living entities will love you. You will be the object of love of all living entities because of your detachment and subsequent selflessness, right? So he says, the jnani, he means whose heart is pure. The jnani whose heart is pure by performing karma, even, so here performing means Nishkama Karma Yoga type 2, is not contaminated. That is stated in this verse. The jnani is engaged in karma yoga are of three types. Okay. Those who have controlled their intelligence are called as Vishuddhatma. Those who have controlled their minds are Vijitatma. And those who have controlled their senses are Jitendriya. The order of superiority is from the last to first. Okay. So one who has controlled intelligence is the best. One who has controlled his mind is second best. One who has controlled his senses is third best. So only senses third, senses and mind second, senses, mind and intelligence is, you know, the best. Okay. all the jivas are attracted to such a grihastha. Why such a grihastha? Because kurvan yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitama jitendriyah sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvan apinalipyate. So kurvan means he is engaging in nishkama karma yoga. So that is why nishkama karma yoga means by default grihastha. There is no performance of nishkama karma yoga by a sannyasi or anyone else, right? External sannyasi, right? So his body is the object of love for all the living entities because of his internal detachment and selflessness. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we move forward? Okay, if there is none, we will continue our discussion. Then, Krishna continues. Naiva kinchit karomi te yukto manyeta tatvavit pashyan shrenvan sprashan japran ashna kachan swapan swashan pralapan visirjan grinnan unmishan nimishan api indriyani indriyarteshu vartanta iti dharayan. So he says, yuktaha. The person engaged in karma yoga, okay, tatvavit, having knowledge. What knowledge does he have? Indriyani indriyarteshu vartanta iti dharayan. He very clearly understands that the senses alone are interacting with the sense objects. Indriyani indriyarteshu vartanta iti dharayan. He understands that it is only the senses which are engaged in the sense objects. Okay. While pashyan, shrinvan, sprishan, jighran, ashnan. While hearing, while seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating. Okay. These are the actions of the jnanendriyas. Okay. And gachan, swapan, swashan. Okay. Going, sleeping, breathing, pralapan, visirjan, grinan, speaking, excreting, and receiving. Okay. These are the actions of the karmendriya, except for sleep and breathing, which are activities governed by the pranas. So opening and closing eyes are representative of the five secondary pranas. So there are five primary pranas and the five secondary pranas. So the secondary pranas are Kurma, Krikara, Devadatta, Dananjaya, and you know, these are involved in opening the eyes, closing the eyes, yawning, belching, and all of that is also controlled by the secondary pranas. The primary pranas are prana, apana, samana, vyana, and udana. You know, they control, you know, inhale, exhalation, and then, and all those primary things are controlled by the five primary pranas. And then the secondary bodily functions are also controlled by this five secondary pranas. Okay. So some of the activities are the activities of the jnanendriyas. Some of the activities are activities of the karmendriyas. Some of the activities are activities of the pranas. Okay. So pashyan, shrinvan, sprishan, jighran, ashnan. These are the jnanendriyas activities. Gachan, swapan, swashan. Sorry, swapan. Swapan and swashan are activities of the prana. Okay. Gachan, pralapan, visirjan, grinnan. These four are the activities of karmendriyas. Unmishan, nimishan. Opening and closing of the eyes are activities of the secondary pranas. Okay. In all these things, in engaging in all these, the person engaged in karma yoga of type 2, nishkama karma yoga type 2, he very clearly understands that the soul has nothing to do. It is only the senses which are engaging with the sense objects. Naiva kinchit karomi iti manyeta. He understands that na eva kinchit karomi. I am not doing even anything. I, the soul, I am not involved in anything. In all these actions, it is either my karmendriyas or jnanendriyas or my prana, which is engaged in the sense object. I am not doing anything. So with this understanding, he remains detached. With this understanding, he remains detached. Okay. So here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, the Lord teaches the method by which one is not contaminated by actions. So why Nishkama Karma Yogi type 2 is not contaminated by actions? Because it was mentioned, so I will write it here. Why Nishkama Karma Yogi type 2 is not contaminated by actions? Because his actions are, because he does not have false ego. Because his actions are not triggered by false ego. So he has true ego. Very clearly he identifies with the self as the soul. He very clearly sees that in all these actions where the senses are coming in touch with the sense objects, it is just an interaction between the senses and the sense objects. I, the soul, I am not doing anything. So he has this realized knowledge. Therefore, he is Nirdvandva. He has no dualities, likings and dislikings. Likings and dislikings are not there because he is not identifying with the sense. Right? So, therefore, his actions do not generate any karma. Okay? So, he says, although the karma yogi is engaged in seeing and other actions, by verifying with his intelligence that the senses alone are engaged in the sense objects, he thinks, I am doing nothing at all. Okay, I am doing nothing at all, so I don't get contaminated. So that's why in the previous verse it was mentioned, Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma Kurvan Api Na Lipyati. Therefore, though he is engaged in his activities of karma, he is not contaminated by that. That is what is described in this, in this 8th and 9th verse. Okay, can you please ask this question verbally? We will pause here. If there are any questions, you can please go ahead. Yes, Purushottam Prasad.
Prabhuji Dandatna. So Krishna also says in 3:27, Ahankara Vimudatma Karta Hamit Manyate. So that verse and this verse is almost correlated. So
yeah.
I'm trying to capture what is the core essence of these two verses. So one has to act without false ego. How a jnani point of view and a bhakta point of view, how we have to understand these two verses?
See, these two verses are not instructions. These two verses are sims. Okay. So if one has fever, the fever has symptoms. What are the symptoms? Ahankara vimudatma karta aham iti manyate. That symptom. And what is the symptom of a healthy person? Indriya indriyarteshu vartanta iti dharayan. Naiva kinchit karomi iti. I am not doing anything. It is only the indriyas are engaging with the sense objects. Okay. So these are not normative verses. These are not instructions. This is the symptom. A symptom of a person who is controlled by false ego, he is 3.27. And the person who is not under the control of the false ego, he is 5.8, 5.9, or even 3.28. I think 3.28 is Tattvavittu Mahabaho Gunakarma Vibhagayoho Guna Guneshu Vartanta Iti Matvana Sajjate. Exact same meaning. 3.28 and 5.8 and 9 have the same meaning. Because both the verses are talking about a person who is completely on the platform of jnana and who has transcended the platform of false ego. So, what do the devotees have to learn this? The devotees can learn what are the symptoms of transcending the false ego, and they can evaluate whether they have transcended or not. Only that much. This is not a normative verse. This is just a verse which is describing the symptoms. That's all.
If that is the case, our acharyas gave this path, bhakti yoga, and especially Prabhupada, engaging our senses, body, mind, and intelligence in a perfect way. And the jivatma gradually can release from all this false ego, etc., etc. The cleansing process takes place so profoundly, Prabhuji.
True. So, there is a difference here. Actually, in this gradual path, this one point I just wanted to, because you asked this question, so I will just try to draw a connection between this gradual path and the, I will just add one more slide here to illustrate this point little bit. So just give me 1 second. Okay. So here you have two paths. You have the gradual path. Okay. And then you have the path of bhakti. Okay. In the gradual path, the person starts out with the identity of the person is, I am the enjoyer. Okay. So, this is false ego. Okay. So, he starts out with this identity that I am the enjoyer. So, then what does the gradual path say? They say, yes, we agree you are the enjoyer. Okay. But you are the enjoyer as you are the Varna and Ashrama. You are the enjoyer as a Brahmana and you are the enjoyer as a Grihastha. Okay. So you are the enjoyer. Enjoy. No problem. Right. So, but you are the enjoyer as a Brahmana and a Grihastha. So there is an identity in terms of Varna and there is an identity in terms of Ashrama. Both are also false ego only. So, right, both are also false ego. So, what it does is, first he is on the bodily platform. That bodily platform is not denied. That bodily platform is first enforced. Yes, you are this body and you are a Brahmana and you are a Grihastha and the enjoyer. You enjoy as a Brahmana and you enjoy as a Grihastha. So, rather than a vague identity as an enjoyer, he gets a very fixed identity as a Brahmana and a Grihastha. But what is the purpose of the Vedas giving this kind of identity, which is also false? Because by giving this identity, along with giving him a false identity, also give him duties. Okay. This is the means of regulation. This false ego becomes the means of regulation. And these duties are built in such a way that these duties can purify. Okay. So they say that yes, you are the enjoyer, but you are the enjoyer of a Brahmana and a Grihastha. Then he says, yes, yes, I am the enjoyer as a Brahmana and a Grihastha. I will enjoy. They say, okay, enjoy. But enjoy, but you also have duties of a Brahmana and duties of a Grihastha. Okay. So, perform the duties and enjoy. This is Sakama Karma Yoga. So, when they perform, so they have received a false ego. And all these 10 types of samskaras, Dashavida samskaras, what do? They reinforce the false ego. Okay. They reinforce the false ego. That is why all these samskaras are according to one's varna and ashrama. So whichever samskara that you do, it will reinforce. Yes, you are a Brahman. You are a Brahmachari. You are a Grihastha. You know, all these Dashavidha samskaras, starting from Garbhadana samskara, in the traditional Vedic system, I am not talking about the adapted version that devotees may follow. Okay. So, in the traditional Varnashrama system, what is Garbhadana samskara? When a Brahmana male and a Brahmana female come together and perform certain kind of rituals in order to attract a Brahmana soul as their child. That is Garbhadana samskara. But when devotees perform Garbhadana samskara, we are not trying to attract Brahmana child. We are just trying to get a devotee child, right? Irrespective of whether he has Brahmanical inclination, whatever, right? So these Dashavida samskaras, they reinforce the false ego. So when they reinforce the false ego, along with the reinforcement of the false ego, the duties are also reinforced. He becomes very attached to the duties, and the duties are designed in such a way that it purifies that person. And when he becomes purified of this, then he slowly comes to the platform of Nishkama Karma Yoga. He becomes, this enjoyer tendency becomes refined. Okay. And he comes to true ego. I am not this body. I don't want any bodily enjoyment. I just want liberation. Okay. So, and then by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, when the anarthas within the heart are purified, then he comes to the path of Gyanga, and then he achieves liberation. If you see the gradual path, it actually first, it from a very vague false ego identity as an enjoyer, first, this gradual path gives a very fixed false ego identity as a Brahmana, Grihastha, Kshatriya, etc. And then, first it fixes the false ego through these samskaras, and then gradually, through these Varnashrama duties, it purifies that person and eventually transcends the false ego. It helps one transcend the false ego to come to the platform of true ego, and from there he attains liberation. So this is the gradual path. But if you see the path of bhakti, okay, if somehow one comes, if a jiva comes in touch with devotees and accumulates agyata sukriti over many lifetimes, and he reaches the stage of shraddha, then that devotee starts on the platform of true ego.
Wow.
Even though there may be enjoying tendency in the heart, but he will see that enjoying tendency as an anartha.
Yeah.
Right. So what does, when a devotee becomes, comes to the stage of Adav Shraddha. Okay. So a beginner devotee, a Kanishta devotee, when he comes to the stage of Shraddha, what actually changes? Is it that immediately his material desires will vanish? No.
No,
But how he perceives those material desires, that will change.
Definitely.
He will no longer perceive those material desires as goals. He will start perceiving those material desires as anarthas. And that anartha navritti may be slow. You know, when he progresses from that to sadhusanga to bhajana kriya to anartha navritti, nishtha, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema. So it's a, there is gradual anartha navritti. But one should understand that he starts with the on the platform of true ego, a devotee. Therefore, the first thing that we hear is Naham Vipro, Nacha Narapati, Napi Vaishyo na Shudro, Naham Varini, Nachagrihapati, Na Vanasto Yatirva, Kintu Prodhyan Nikila Paramananda Purnamritabde, Gopi Bhartur Padakamaleo Das Dasanudas. How many times we have heard this from Prabhupada?
Yes.
Again and again and again and again. So right from the beginning, how many times Prabhupada has told that you are Kshatriya, you are Brahmana? No.
Never. Yeah.
The very first beginning only, for the beginner level teaching only, for devotees, there is the platform of true ego. Okay. So therefore, while the ten samskaras reinforce the false ego, for us, the 64 limbs
of bhakti,
okay, yes, of devotional service, they reinforce the true ego.
Mm.
Okay. And then whatever further anarthas are there will be, anartha navritti will be further accomplished by further practice of the 64 limbs.
Yeah.
That's all. So there is this difference between therefore, you know, you cannot always draw exact parallels between. So the reason why I am discussing this here is because we cannot always draw exact parallels between the descriptions of Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga and actually Bhakti Yoga. Because practically Karma Yoga is on the platform of false ego. Bhakti is on the platform of true ego. Right from the beginning, right from Adav Shraddha, it is on the platform of true ego. Actually, even though, if you see, a Nishkama Karma Yogi may be at a significantly purified stage, and the Bhakti Yogi may be in the very beginning level with hardly any purification, heart filled with lot of material desires. But still, he is on the platform of true ego. So now you may say, if he is on the platform of true ego, why is he seen to engage in sense gratification?
That is another
thing. He is seen to engage in sense gratification because he is responding to his anarthas and not to his faith.
Super.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that is the difference, actually.
So that's it. Prabhupada writes, for a devotee, though is having in a subtle level the sense enjoyment, still is like a toothless snake. It has no horns, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a toothless snake because a devotee engaging in a forbidden activity due to the influence of the anarthas will not generate karma. Due to which will decide his next birth. So his next birth due to karma is not decided based on the devotee engaging in some forbidden activity. His next birth will be decided by Krishna.
Okay. So in the bhakti platform, right from the beginning, I am not the enjoyer, I am an eternal servitor of Krishna. The soul understands that theoretically, even though not practically.
Theoretically, yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Super. Thanks a lot.
Hare Krishna. Sir Ramacharya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. You answered some of that here. But I heard in one of the lecture, and I would like to get that clarified and confirmed from you. In one of the lectures, I heard that some part of the Niskam Karma Yoga is Bhakti Yoga. And I was just going through some of the slides and discussion that we had in past, where you mentioned that both in Sakam Karma Yoga and Niskam Karma Yoga, the prescribed duty is varnashram activity. And then Sakam is for sense gratification and Niskam Karma Yoga is for purification or liberation. So looking at that definition, I'm not seeing that Niskam Karma Yoga at any point is Bhakti Yoga. So how you'd like to help me understand that part?
No, I did not say in Nishkama Karma Yoga there will be some element of bhakti. It is primarily karma only, but there will be some element of bhakti. You know, there will be some worship of the Lord. There will be some deity worship. Such things will be there. But ultimately, it is mostly karma only. And that bhakti is just a secondary part of their practice. But ultimately, their practice is karma only. And that, just because they practice that small element of bhakti, that does not mean they are on the platform of true ego. That practice of bhakti is also not on the platform of true ego. But nevertheless, there is a limb of bhakti there.
We talk about pradhan bhuta bhakti, guna bhuta bhakti and kevalya bhakti, yeah. Type of concept. Oh.
The same thing. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga is guni bhuta, where bhakti is secondary. Karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, yoga mishra bhakti is pradhani bhuta, where bhakti is primary, whereas karma jnana yoga is secondary. And there is shuddha bhakti.
Oh. Yeah, Prabhuji, that's very clear now. Dandavats. Thank you.
Right. Anything else before we move forward? Okay. So here, Krishna is telling why the second type of Nishkama Karma Yogi, even though he may be engaged in actions of Varna, why is he not contaminated by those actions? Because Naivachit Karomi Iti Manyeta. Because he thinks he is not the doer. Indriyani Indriyarteshu Vartanta Iti Dharayan. Because he very clearly understands that it is only the senses which are interacting with the senses, sense objects. And I, the soul, I am not doing. That is why he is called as Tattvavit. And the same words, the same phrase Tattvavit comes in 3.28. Tattvavit tu Mahabaho Gunakarma Vibhagoho Guna Guneshu Vartanta Iti Matvana Sajjate. Guna Guneshu Vartanta is the same as Indriyani Indriyarteshu Vartanta Iti Dharayan. Same meaning, exactly same meaning. Guna Guneshu Vartanta Iti Matva Na Sajjate. Okay. So Na Sajjate was mentioned already in the previous verse. Right? Kurvan Api Na Lipyate. Na Lipyate Na Sajjate. Same meaning. So 3.28 is the same as 5.789 put together. 5.789, it's a little bit elaborated. 3.28 is in a very short form. The same thing is mentioned. It is the same because it's talking about the same person. One who by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga has purified his heart and has come to the platform of true ego. So because he has now transcended the platform of true false ego and come to the platform of true ego, therefore, kurvan api na lipyate, he is not actually this thing. So therefore, one thing I again wanted to mention. So as I mentioned, the dashavida samskaras, they reinforce the false ego. That is why these 10 types of samskaras, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, are not mandatory for devotees. Definitely not in the same form. Because in the same form, it reinforces the false ego. So therefore, the kind of Garbhadana Samskar and all that we do, we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But in the traditional Vedic system, they don't chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. They would have some other practice which will invite a Brahmana soul or a Kshatriya soul as their child. Huh? But in bhakti, we practice some, we may chant 64 rounds or whatever. But it is just a devotional adaptation, right? It is just a devotional adaptation. Okay. And it does not guarantee essentially that you will get a devotee soul only as your child. There is no 100% guarantee like that, right? And we don't care. It's okay. As Vaishnavas, if you get a devotee child, we nourish that devotee child's devotion by taking care of that child. If you get a non-devotee child, we again give that child very good devotional experience so that the child accumulates a lot of Ajnata Sukriti and maybe later he will become a devotee. So for a devotee, if he begets a devotee child or a non-devotee child, in one sense, it's the same. Because as devotees, don't we go out and preach to non-devotees to make them devotees? We do, right? And when a non-devotee becomes a devotee, don't we become happy? We become happy. So then won't we become happy if our own child, which happened to be a non-devotee, gradually by our giving them an opportunity to accumulate a lot of Ajnata Sukriti through favorable experiences, if they become devotees, won't we become happy? We become happy. So devotees feel happy in trying to help devotees practice better also, and they also become happy in trying to preach to new people. So if one of those new people happens to be your own son or daughter, then what is the problem? One can definitely preach to them, give them good experience growing up in Krishna consciousness so that they accumulate a lot of Ajnata Sukriti and eventually become devotees like that. Okay. So, it's 9:30, so we will pause here and we will continue this discussion next week, next Friday. So, thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion next Friday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.